This podcast of the Radio Cafe comes to you via radiocafe.org, where you can find more information and many other podcasts. Technical support comes from Studio X, providing website design, hosting, e-commerce, and social media marketing, serving Santa Fe to the world since 1994. Find out more at studiox.com. And this segment, we are talking about an event that's happening at the Santa Fe Art Institute tonight. It's called Access Denied: Creative Responses to Borders. It's a screening with interactive art and performances at 7 o'clock at the Santa Fe Art Institute. And it's in response to the United States denying visas to some of the artists who were supposed to have been here at the Santa Fe Art Institute. We have today three artists from North America. The first is Erica Harsh, who joins us today. She is from Mexico. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, and thank you for the invitation.
So you are doing a piece which is kind of an interactive piece that has to do with passports, which Correct. Is, of course, on the whole theme of borders and border crossing. Tell us about what you're doing and how you came to this activity.
Well, this actually relates to a very personal experience. I'm an immigrant, and I came to the United States, to New York, 14 years ago. And first I was here as a tourist, and I applied for the O-1 visa, which is the alien with extraordinary abilities, until I wasn't that privileged in terms of changing my visa status and applying for a green card, and then all the sort of nightmare began. It's a very complex story, but I decided to create a passport just to put a little bit the story on the subject matter. I've been working with, I'm a visual artist, multimedia, and I was already doing a project with butterflies, and I use butterflies to address certain metaphors of identity and how certain predetermined factors or certain factors at the moment of everybody's birth determine who you're going to become, which is gender, nationality, or the territory where you've been born, linked to birthright citizenship, and also the privilege or the social economical context that you are born in, money. So I created projects that relate to all these aspects. I was doing a project in Mexico, recording at the Sanctuary of the Monarchs in Michoacán, Mexico. You know that the monarchs fly from Canada across the United States and arrive to Mexico once a year for hibernation. And doing that project, I was in this very difficult situation of being able to do the project or not, or to show international in several biennials that project was already being selected for. So I was able to go, but then it was very complicated. And once I'm there, I'm literally laying on the floor, and I'm filming the monarchs, and I got this moment of recognition, like, these butterflies do not need a passport.
Right.
They pretty much have my same pattern of back and forth, because I was needing to go back and forth. So then at that precise moment, this is 2006, I thought about creating a monarch passport. The idea stayed in the drawer for so many years until 2008, when I was invited to an exhibition about immigration. And I decided to create this passport, but I just created like the front part of it. And then it took like a year to develop the whole content of a passport and develop this United States of North America passport office, which is the whole piece. It's a performance, it's an installation performance, interactive. People can actually be part of the piece. So it's a recreation of a passport office where people arrive, they read a little bit about the context, and then they fill up a form and they apply for a passport. They can spill a wheel of fortune, a wheel prize, and actually walk out of the installation with a passport in their hands. So the passport joins Canada, United States, and Mexico with the exact emblematic, like the images that are exactly as in the covers of each passport, but together with the monarch butterfly as this emblematic representation of a North American continent without borders. So it's a very playful sort of way to present a very serious matter. And the project stands, not necessarily a criticism, but yes, somehow placing on the table the consequences of the NAFTA treaty that was in a very main part responsible of having now more than 12 million undocumented immigrants, like creating this bottleneck. were closing the borders and not allowing this natural flow of migration, this natural pattern of cyclical migration, of entrance and return, as it had been for so many years. It's a very complicated circumstance. I mean, this immigration conundrum is, every time you think if it has a solution, not necessarily has a solution. And so this project doesn't mean that I'm trying to create a fictitious passport or saying something is good or wrong. It's more for people to think about the subject matter.
How do people experience it when they're doing it? I mean, you've done this a number of times, and so it's this thing in which people who come to the show participate in it. And I mean, depending on who they are, how do they react?
This has been fascinating because it has been internationally shown in exhibitions and biennials. But one of the first experiences where the piece was shown out of the context of a museum or a gallery was in the Łódź Biennial in Poland. And they gave me a commercial space in the main street of the city, the Piotrkowska Street, that at some point was a main commercial artery in Eastern Europe. So I occupied this commercial space and turned it into an office. And it really, I took all the imagery and the semiotics of all the signage of governmental offices in Poland with all the information of the project. So it was in the street. So it really got intertwined in this complex fabric, urban fabric, where the typical passerby could enter the installation and just be surprised. And since it was, the setting was very real, very convincing, a lot of people felt it was very hard to convince them that this was not real, because at the outside was like passport office of the United States of North America. This is one of the things. So it's I use the word North because Mexico, Canada, and United States are North America. So for a lot of people, they assumed that it was a reality, that it was something that they could get this passport for free. And during it was open for a month. So let's say that somebody passed and the next day, like, the person came with all their family or relatives with already passport photos taken to apply to the passport.
But then it's not like they look real when you...
They look very real.
Oh, they do? It's like the same size?
It's a little bit bigger.
Okay.
But, I mean, it's fascinating because some people are so obsessed by the fact of obtaining this passport or this possibility to travel to the United States, so there's possibility to become documented, that they assume as real. There's never a moment that we're misinforming people, because all the time on the display at the office, there's the actual conceptual information on the project, which is literally every single page of this passport that resembles a passport has information about NAFTA treaty, the monarch migration, human rights related to migration, policies of migration.
But if you're somebody who wants a passport, you're not even going to see that. You're just going to see, I have a passport in my hand. I mean, did anybody try to travel with it?
I don't think anybody had trouble with it, because at the end they learn. You know, it's just this very specific moment when you face the piece, when you enter, when you confront the piece, some people really want it to be true.
Yeah.
And it's very hard to convince them that this is an art piece, this is a performance.
And so you'll be doing that performance tonight?
I'm going to do it tonight, so everybody's invited to come and actually walk out with a passport piece in their hands, which is a collectible art piece.
Yeah.
So for me, I did other projects where people can actually take the artwork in their hands. So for me, it's important that not only collectors can have an art piece, but by interacting in the project, you can actually walk out with an art piece. And so it's sort of my policy of free art.
Erica Harsh is a resident at the Santa Fe Art Institute. We will see you tonight here at the Institute. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you very much, and I hope to see you all tonight.
And we are continuing with artists from the Santa Fe Art Institute talking about the exhibition that is happening tonight, the event that's happening tonight, Access Denied, Creative Responses to Borders. I'd like now to welcome Emma Fitzgerald. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So you're doing work here at the Institute which is directly related to borders, and in fact to border walls and to the whole concept of a wall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, before I came, I started reading a book called The Beast. It's by an El Salvadorian journalist, and at that time, I actually didn't realize there were going to be artists coming from El Salvador or trying to get here from El Salvador. But it details him taking that train, The Beast, through Central America, Mexico, and then documenting the attempts to get through to the States by people fleeing violence in their home countries.
And that train is just a harrowing symbol of border crossing, and it's not just one border crossing the United States into Mexico, but it's people who come from Central America and endure all kinds of just almost unspeakable horrors.
Yeah, so for me it was a real education. I mean, of course you hear at a distance, but the book really was a key into some more of these details of what happens. And so I began to see the wall, which is something that separates the US and Mexico, is not just a wall, but an entire landscape and an entire field and of multiple power dynamics. So I started repeating the word wall over and over again on a piece of paper using ink. And the ink I use is actually a bit of a somewhere between earth and blood colored. And to me, this spoke of both the landscape and also the violence and the atrocities happening.
And so you did this piece, which was kind of an artwork, kind of a meditation, kind of a performance, writing the word wall over and over again on a wall to where at the end it looks almost like a kind of a landscape.
Yeah, that's what ended up happening is as I layered on top, to me they could be kind of seen as clouds or mountains or wounds or, like you say, an entire field. And there's kind of a delicate feeling to it, as well as this maybe pointed bloodiness, or so I wanted to play with both those sensations of both hope and horror. And it was actually 12 hours, so I started 7:30 in the morning. The gallery space has some natural light, so I followed sort of the course of a day, and we took a photo every 5 seconds. So there's also a time lapse that'll kind of illustrate for people. And there were many times I almost gave up because, you know, your arms get very sore, and
Yeah.
not to in any way say that that's one-to-one with the experience of people fleeing their countries, but I wanted to have some sense of what it takes to push through limitations of both your mind and your body.
Did you really just like stand there at that wall all day?
Yeah,
Did you
I made
eat?
two peanut butter sandwiches, and I had some pieces of seaweed, funnily enough, and a few bottles of water, and I just sort of took little bites maybe every hour. So I wasn't stopping for meals per se. I was just taking what I needed every half hour or hour, and went to the bathroom a few times. But other than that, I just pushed on through.
Now, this is something you're going to be showing this work tonight?
There are some experiments I've been doing in my studio, so that'll be open to people. And there, I was experimenting with different colors and forms, and I feel like there's a lot of play with the kind of set of rules or parameters I've set up for myself with this work. So, yeah, just trying to see where it could take me.
You are also an illustrator and make just beautiful books or illustrate books in your home country of Canada in Halifax where you live. And you're also doing a kind of a collaboration with some students from Santa Fe High.
Yeah, so that was important to me to try and, as much as it's a very short time, 2 months, there was some time here to get to know local people. And often how I do that is by drawing, but in this case, I was going into the school and teaching a little bit of drawing with some of the other artists from here. And it's during the lunch hour bilingual club, so a lot of these kids don't speak a lot of English, and the Spanish teacher has created a safe space for them to hang out and socialize and learn a little from each other. And so in this case, we were kind of giving some drawing skills, also some embroidery skills. So the kids are going to be coming over. They're not necessarily able to come in the evening, but during their lunch hour, they'll be coming and seeing all the artists' work and having their work on display with us, which I think is really a beautiful thing to have their voice shared. And a lot of them have come from Guatemala, and like I said, some speak English, some don't. Some, when we brought up the embroidery thread, there was a lot of reactions of, "Oh, my grandma does this," or, "My aunt does this," but they've never done it themselves. So
Nice.
That was a nice connection with that place.
Did any of them ride that train, the Beast?
I don't think we're in that realm of trust of asking
Yeah.
pointed questions like that. So it was more just spending time with each other. And but one girl in particular has a very beautiful poem that she's repeatedly drawn and now embroidered. where she describes being alone, being like the moon, and you can even shine brilliantly despite being alone, just like the moon. So I do sense some of that loss and the challenges of being in a new country, and that almost trauma, but being translated in a very beautiful way by a very young girl.
Emma Fitzgerald is an artist who is a resident at the Santa Fe Art Institute, and we will see you and see your work tonight here at the Institute.
Sounds good. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And I would like now to welcome Mauricio Esquivel. He's an artist from El Salvador, and he will also be showing work tonight at the Santa Fe Art Institute. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for the invitation.
My pleasure. And your work is... it's just amazing to me. You do artwork that involves using coins.
Yes.
How did you come to that work?
I decided to work with this element because anyone can use it in the daily life. You use it to do your transactions if you want to buy something. And at the same time, I decided to work with this element because it represents the history of the countries.
And so a coin from your country or coin from ever any country that you're using represents that country and has a lot of people put so much value in it that the element itself is kind of like charged with meaning.
Yes, yes, because in different countries where I work in with this project, each country have different stories. And that's the reason why I'm using this, because I can do a little changes in the history. I need to read a lot when I'm working in this project. I need to read a lot because the changes that I'm doing or interventions that I do in the coins, in some cases, are very connected to the histories of these countries. And in this case, with the displacement line that is a parade that I'm going to present for the show, I'm using dollars because it's the actual currency in El Salvador.
Is that right? That's what you use to pay for things in El Salvador?
Yes, yes.
Dollars. You don't use your local currency?
Yes, since 2001.
Wow.
Yes.
So you take coins and you transform them in certain ways. One of those ways is making them three-dimensional, so like concave on one side, convex on the other, almost like little buttons. Another thing that you do is you actually cut shapes out of them, like cutting out the shape of an eagle so that you have these separate little eagles or you have coins with the eagle missing.
Yeah.
First of all, what does that act mean for you?
For me, in the formal aspects of doing this, is to get back the sculptural values of this object and the drawing values, because when I'm doing this, I do a draw, but in a expanded field.
You do a drawing?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like do a drawing, but in a different way, because I'm doing I cutting the coin. And this is in the formal aspects, but in the symbolic aspects, I think is to use this object to put on it a symbolic meaning, different kind of meanings. When I do different kind of cuttings, I have different kind of meanings.
So what is the meaning for you of, for example, an eagle cut out of an American quarter?
In this case, specifically, I'm using this for the migration process for people from Central America to the U.S. Because I start this project doing this. I do a map with the eagles traveling from Central America to the north. Like the birds, not specifically the eagles, because the eagles, they stay in their original places.
Yeah, they don't migrate.
Yeah, they
don't
migrate yet. Yes, but the birds usually do this kind of migration. So it was my start point to develop this project. But now I do more complex pieces with different kind of layers.
Layers of meaning and also...
layers of meaning, yeah.
Yeah. And what strikes me so much is that just the purely visual artistic value of these pieces that you do is incredible. They're so beautiful.
Thank you. It's not only my work, because I work with a friend that helps me to when I do these very big pieces. I need help because I don't have enough time sometimes to do a very big production like this piece that is going to be in the show, because I use for this piece maybe 600 coins.
Yeah.
And sometimes I use 2,000 or more. It's depending of the of the place where I'm presenting this. I change the piece.
Now, you are from El Salvador, and the artists who were denied are also from there. Are they your were they your friends, your colleagues?
Yes. We work together sometimes in different projects. We develop curatorial projects for young artists. We have almost 8 years of experience doing just contemporary art. So we try to help young artists to have their own shows in different places in right. Central America. And we work a lot together. They didn't come because they didn't get the visa.
Do we know why their visas were denied?
Because now the violence in El Salvador is too hard. They are denying these visas for people that comes from El Salvador now.
Just everybody?
I think maybe just everybody, because now we have 24 murders per day. That's very bad, and the people is coming to the U.S. illegally. If you got a visa, in some cases, you stay here because you feel more safer. Even me now, being here is very hard for me because it's the first time for me that I'm afraid to come back. Is that the situation? Because I live in one place of this kind that is controlled by the gangs.
So you're afraid to go back home?
Yes. I don't want to victimize myself.
Yeah.
But it's so hard, the situation now, that I travel a lot doing art projects. And this is the first time that I'm afraid to going back.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
What's it like where you live? What's it like in your neighborhood?
Because I'm living in a neighborhood controlled by one of these groups. We have two very big groups, the MS, that is known by the Mara Salvatrucha, mm-hmm. and the other one is the 18, that is the Barrio 18. And I live in one of these neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. But I have now eight years living in the middle of one neighborhood controlled by these guns.
And what is it like to live in a neighborhood that's controlled by these gangs? I mean, do you know all the people? Do you see what they're doing? Do you see the violence yourself?
No. That's the thing, that you be in the middle of that, and sometimes you can see that it's around you. Yes, but you can travel if you don't know that you are crossing the borders of these controlled places. They can kill you just because you belong to a different neighborhood.
So even if you're not involved with the gang, if you go from one neighborhood to another.
Yes, because now if you cross these borders, if they ask you for your ID, they can see in the ID where you live.
So there's gang members asking you for identification?
Yes. And now with the IDs, the government is planning to not put the direction, the address.
Yeah. Because of that,
imagine.
Oh my goodness!
It's crazy. The situation in El Salvador now is very, very crazy, because I think the problem. This is not a problem just now. It's come from the civil war that we had, and it's changing. The violence is changing, and we don't know when it's going to finish this. And I think is this. We don't have now respect for life. Yes, it's sad, but it's a reality.
Mauricio Esquivel is an artist, and his work, very, very exquisite work, will be part of the event tonight. It's called Access Denied: Creative Responses to Borders. It's a screening, an interactive art and performance evening from 7 to 9 here at the Santa Fe Art Institute, which is on the campus of the Santa Fe University of Art and Design. For more information, you can go to sfai.org. You can also give them a call at 505-424-5050. Mauricio, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. Thank you, Tia.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. To support the program, you can go to radiocafe.org. Many thanks to StudioX.com for their technical support and web design.